This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Get the latest on the Giants and Jets on WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Mark Belusis.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
the Fan, WFAN. All right, we get it going on a Friday midday. Mark Melusis with you right here, The Fan in New York. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Rami and Pete across the way on the side at the controls. Hit me up on X at Mark Melusis. That's Mark with a C. We got you for the next 4 hours, right up until 11 Tiki. They come your way at 2. And final football Friday. End of the regular season coming up for the Giants as they entertain the Dallas Cowboys. And as far as the Jets are concerned, they're in Buffalo closing out their stadium to take on the Bills in all likelihood. I mean, final game at Highmark for Josh Allen before they open up their brand spanking new beautiful stadium a year from now. So maybe you get him for a couple snaps. But Allen missed practice the past couple days for the Buffalo Bills, nursing that foot sprain in his right foot. So if not him, it'll be Trubisky at quarterback for the Buffalo Bills against the New York Jets. But does it really matter since what we've seen from the New York Jets in the month of December? I mean, it could be Rami or Pete at quarterback this week for the Buffalo Bills. And then you'll have Aaron Glenn going out there and talking about the special teams. But we've gotten on Glenn enough this week. Let's talk a little Giants to kick off the program this morning. And got a good show on tap for you, as we do each and every time. Art Stapleton will join us top of the 11 o'clock hour. Talk a little Giants. Ally Anizone from Newsday will join us in the noon hour. Nick Costos, so right around 12:40. And, you know, John Heyman had an interesting report yesterday in the New York Post about Bo Bichette. And the Yankees poking around along with the Cubs and the Los Angeles Dodgers about Bo Bichette. He'll join us. Johnny, who I love, good friend of mine, he'll join me top of the 1 o'clock hour as well. Your calls at 888-808-1019. But we kick it off with the Giants as they get set to take on the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday out at MetLife Stadium. And, disappointing seasons for both franchises, both organizations. You know, in Dallas, obviously, a year of turnover with the deal of Micah Parsons before the start of the year to the Green Bay Packers, and then adding guys like Wilson at linebacker from Cincinnati, Logan, that is, Quinton Williams from the Jets right around the NFL trade deadline. But still, in the end, year one for Brian Schottenheimer as head coach down there in Dallas ends in disappointing fashion. And as far as the Giants are concerned, well, I mean, just a difficult schedule. We know that. But with that as the backdrop, a lot of, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda type of years, where or type of season. Coulda, woulda, shoulda against New Orleans. Coulda, woulda, shoulda against Detroit. Coulda, woulda, shoulda against Denver, against Chicago, against the Dallas Cowboys initially, down there in Big D. Like, all of those things that you say, well, it coulda looked a lot different this year. Obviously, the light at the end of the tunnel, as we discussed yesterday, is Jackson Dart. But the concern you have here is for, you know, the Giants organization, as, you know, you start to get the reports coming out and you start to kind of get the feel, the sense. It started with Rappaport. I saw the report by Paul Schwartz yesterday in New York Post, who does a great job covering the Giants in terms of, you know, most general managers get two cracks at as a head coach in the National Football League. And that, you know, Joe Shane's going into the final year of his contract, that, you know, in all likelihood, he'll be back as Giants general manager. And I understand there are a lot of Giant fans that, you know, wanted more accountability, wanted another name on the list for, you know, going through this type of a season. I get it. I understand it. And, you know, it is not all that easy to make the argument in terms of, based on, if you're going to look at results, and I've talked about it time and time again in the National Football League, it is a results-oriented business. That's what you're judged on each and every week, whether or not you're good enough based on the matchup that you go up against, whether or not you're a good head coach, whether or not you're a good GM, whether or not you're a good talent evaluator. That's it, right? There is no ribbons handed out for participation. Nobody's going out there and telling you, well, you gave it the good old college try, or, you know, you get an A-plus for participation. There's none of that nonsense when it comes to the National Football League, right? You separate yourself based on the scoreboard each and every week. And the Giants have lost a lot of football games, you know, over the course of the last three games, off of the course of the last 3 years. Now, when you look at the general manager and you look at Shane, it's interesting when, you know, it's almost like similar in nature to where we'd have conversations. And I was thinking about this, trying to, you know, attack it a little bit different style of fashion. Similar in nature to the conversations we used to have in with Daniel Jones, right? Where I used to always tell you, it depends on what you look at, how you view the player. Because Daniel Jones, as a quarterback, when he was here in New York with the Giants, would often give you kind of, you know, you'd look at him and say, well, he's athletically gifted enough. You know, he could top out at 21 miles an hour running the football. You know, he's got a good enough arm. You know, he's got the acumen to be able to handle the game. You know, his personality, obviously, is very Eli-esque, all of those things. But then you looked at the results outside of, you know, the initial success when, you know, he's being coached, you know, when he stepped in down in Tampa in that first year. Outside of that, you know, and then he had the outlier season 3 years ago, or 4 years ago now, where the Giants went to the playoffs and they had the playoff victory against the Minnesota Vikings. You know, there was just not enough there. Dealt with a cavalcade of injuries. Obviously, at times, the game did not slow down for him. Dealt with a bad offensive line, all of those things. As the Giants co-owner John Mara said when, you know, they brought in Brian Daboll, we did everything that we could to, you know, fail Daniel Jones. But it was almost a case of how you looked at Jones the player. He gave you enough to believe, and he also gave you enough to where you said to yourself, he is not good enough. And I think when you look at the general manager, Joe Shane, I think in a similar way you can kind of have a similar tact. To where you could look at it and say, well, if I'm going to have the clear line of delineation, it's all about wins and losses. Well, it's not good enough. It's time for a change. Now, with that change, obviously, comes, you know, change in personnel when it comes to the scouting department, how you evaluate players, how you grade out players, all of those things. But if you feel like, you know, as a Giant fan that you want that, then that's all well and good. I'm not going to go out there and tell you that, and you're passionate, you live it, eat it, breathe it every single day, you've got season tickets, you're investing your time and energy. I understand the anger, the vitriol, and being upset, right? But if you look at just the results, okay, the results have not been good enough. Now, if you factor in some other things that come along with the equation, well, if you look at the GM outside of the results, I know it's difficult to do. You've got Carter, you've got Dart, you've got Scadaboo, you've got Malik Nabers. Obviously, you've got holdovers from the previous regime when you're looking at Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas. You know, the offensive line this year was not the issue that it has been for the better part of the last, you know, 13, 14 years for the New York Giants, where it became a huge talking point here in New York, especially with this organization, especially when you look at the proud foundation of Giant football, what it was built on, what, you know, why they were able to win Super Bowls. They've been to five, winning four of them. Why they're victorious in 2007, 2011, all those kind of things, right? The ability to go out there and run it, right? The offensive line was a sieve, and they've had a lot of guys that and scouts take a look at, evaluate players. They invested a lot in free agency and never could get it working. Well, this year, the offensive line was not that issue. And if you make the argument that it was more the Giants are sitting here because Shane Bowen was a disaster as a defensive coordinator, there are young pieces to be excited about. We talked about the attractiveness of this job for head coaching candidates. Well, some of the credit then has to go to the general manager. It just does. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It just does. Whether you like it or not, it just does. Now, are there mistakes? Yeah, I think Joe admitted that, you know, Shane admitted that a couple weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, when he met with the media and, you know, and talked about his failures and said he's not going to make the same mistake twice. and he's going to be given time. Now, here's the, and for all intents and purposes, the belief is that, you know, Joe Shane is going to be given a little bit more time here as general manager. Now, here is, if you kind of look at it from a macro perspective of the New York Giants, here's what you can't do. You know, I said it last year before the end of the season, before the Giants co-owner John Mara swiftly came out the day after the NFL regular season came out to an end and met with the media and basically said that, you know, they're going to stay the course with Brian Daboll and they're going to stay the course with Joe Shane. What you can't.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Can't do, and what you've seen with other NFL organizations, and I think this plays into effect of why, you know, for all intents and purposes, Joe Shane is going to remain as general manager of the New York Giants, is that being in a constant state of flux, even though doesn't necessarily lead to success. When your organization is in a constant state of change, and we've seen a lot of change and a lot of failure with the New York Giants, and even though it might not be the most popular opinion, the lean seems to be, based on the report from Rappaport a week ago and other reports and guys and gals that do their job on a day-in, day-out basis, that the general manager is going to be given a little bit more time. But you can't compound the problem. I said it a year ago where if you're going to bring Brian Daboll back and you're going to go out there and draft a quarterback, you want to make sure that you're not changing everything on that quarterback, you know, after year one. And that is unfortunately what the Giants are going to decide to do. What you can't do here, if you're the New York Giants, just in my humble opinion, is that you can't bring in a head coach and then make a decision to change the general manager, you know, after the upcoming season if things don't go your way. And I've said it earlier in the week, I think the Giants have the opportunity, if they bring in the right head coach, that they could turn things around quickly. Like, that doesn't work. Then you're getting into the same cyclical kind of revolving door of consistent and change and who drafted who and who believes in who. You know, similar in nature of the conversations that we had as I brought up Daniel Jones as an example as a player, but similar in case in which, you know, there is not that emotional investment and tie to a player. That is what you can't do. Now, can things change? Yeah. I mean, it's been, listen, Joe Judge was told he was going to be given a little bit more time, and he was not. So, I mean, can things change based on the hiring cycle for the New York Giants? It can. And what I mean by that is, and I've said it before, if you bring in a head coaching candidate that's got a vast amount of experience, has got a resume, has won a Super Bowl before, and we're talking more a case of when you're looking at, well, three examples, whether you're looking at McCarthy, who I don't know how, if he has the kind of the pull to be able to do it, but if you're looking at a Mike Tomlin, if you're looking at a John Harbaugh, if the Steelers and the Ravens respectively decide to make a change following the season, and either one of those two gentlemen say, well, listen, I love the opportunity, love to be the head football coach of the New York Giants, but I want to be able to bring in a guy that I have a good rapport and relationship with to be the general manager of this team. Because it's going to be my vision for this organization. It's going to be my vision about what Giant football is going to be defined by. It's going to be my vision by what we're going to be offensively and defensively, and I'd be a lot more comfortable carrying out that vision if I bring somebody that I see eye to eye with. Not saying that Joe Shane wouldn't be able to work with those individuals, but you get the point. But you have to have that kind of pull, that kind of panache to be able to do that and have the kind of resume and be that kind of an attractive candidate to be able to kind of bring in that individual. You saw with Harbaugh. You know, when he came back to the National Football League with the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, we saw that after leaving the Michigan Wolverine. We've seen in other instances. Look at the Jacksonville Jaguars a year ago, last offseason, when they were able to procure, you know, Liam Cohen away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was sloppy in the end. He didn't want to work with Trent Baalke. Trent Baalke was out the door. They hired, you know, a 30-something-year-old from the Los Angeles Chargers. So, I mean, or from the Chargers. So, you look at this scenario, and you look at this situation for the Giants here, is those are examples of where Shane could potentially, you know, because it was worded strangely last Sunday by Rappaport that'll be on through the draft, where if you bring in that caliber of candidate as a head coach, then maybe the scenario changes for the general manager. Now, as far as the Schefter report that came out this morning, that the Giants are going to cast a wide net for their next head coach, and the names are out there, you know, McCarthy, Lou Anarumo, Jesse Minter, Joseph, the defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. Like, there's similar names that are out there. I would say this, and they're not going to, there's, you know, talk to everybody and everybody. You learn something about your organization the more people you talk to, because you get their ideas. Even though that individual might not end up getting the job and becoming the head coach, you might be able to pull something from that individual, from the organization, that helps out your organization in the long term. It's never a bad thing to get ideas and to feel people out and get a sense of what the perception of your organization is across the National Football League. That's never a bad thing. Sometimes it can be a little bit of a painful exercise. Sometimes it, you know, you might not like to hear what some individual who's being open and honest, hopefully during the interview process, has to say. But, you know, you learn a little something about yourself as an organization. So I fully, you know, believe or lean into that. The other aspect of it doesn't matter if it's an offensive or defensive mind. I would say this, if you decide to go the coordinator route and not an established head coach, I'd lean more offense than defense. You know, I can't go through a scenario here where I'm wasting more time with Jackson Dart. I've said it time and time again. Listen, and, you know, you still continue to get the conversations, and there were Giant fans that were falling all over themselves after you saw Fernando Mendoza have the performance he did yesterday for Indiana against Alabama. And, you know, the Giants are sitting there right now, and it's obviously dependent on the results of Week 18 where the Giants end up selecting. But there is a scenario where the Giants still end up with the number one overall selection. But put all that conversation nonsense to the side. The Giants have their quarterback in Jackson Dart. Now the question is, if I've got a quarterback and I've got a chip in the old game and I'm sitting there at the poker table, right? You know, I've got to be able to develop that quarterback, because that quarterback changes my entire franchise. So if you go with a defensive mind, it's got to be a case where I'm bringing in somebody offensively that's going to be able to develop, because that's got to be, to me, outside of establishing, cutting the nonsense out with the organization, getting back to winning, establishing the Giants once again as a proud NFL franchise, a foundational organization in the National Football League. But outside of doing all of that, setting a tone of what Giant football is going to be all about, part and parcel going along with that is I've got to have a game plan in terms of a bing, bang, boom, Excel spreadsheet, whatever it might be, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? Run it down the line of how am I going to get the best out of Jackson Dart? Because the quarterback changes everything in the National Football League when you have one, when you have a dynamic quarterback, when you have a quarterback that has shown the leadership qualities that Dart has, when you have a quarterback that shows the personality that he does, when he has the skill set that he does, the pocket presence, the athleticism to be a dual threat quarterback, not necessarily to the level of Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick or even Jaden Daniels down in Washington, but we've seen him. He's accounted for 22 touchdowns this year in 13 games. Like, Giant fans want to go out there. Let me ask you this. Compare Jackson Dart's first 13 games to Eli's first 9 games. And Eli, I believe, got into this conversation earlier in the week, and I understand it's the first year, but still, you want to compare and the league has changed, but it's incomparable in terms of impact. In terms of being impressive. Now the goal is to get the best out of him. Maybe he has to make an adjustment, and he does, to the style and fashion in which he plays, where he doesn't necessarily have to take the hits. But you can go out there and cast a wide net and talk to everybody and everybody in terms of the head coaching candidates. But one of the big priorities on that list for the Giants, and you can go into every situation with an open mind. That's how McVay got the job with the Rams. That's how Tomlin got the job with the Steelers, where you're not having a predetermined, this is who we want. That's all well and good, but there has to be a game plan in terms of, I've got the quarterback, I've drafted the quarterback, now I have to continue to develop him, and I can't waste him. And the Giants can't go out there and waste time. I've said it time and time again. This is the most important hire the Giants are going to make in quite some time. Given the state of the franchise, the losing that they've got taken on over the years, and obviously they hold themselves fully accountable. The conversations about, obviously, the future of the general manager, Joe Shane. But with all of that being said, the fact that I've got a young, dynamic quarterback in place, and that changes everything for the organization, and the Giants will be an attractive job. But now it's the all-important hire of hiring the right guy. So I can get into the idea of what's going to define Giant football in 2026 and beyond for whoever is the new head coach. You know, what are you going to be? What's gonna define you offensively and defensively? What's your vision? What's your game plan? What is your plan for the quarterback? It's one thing to draft him. It's another thing to develop him. And we've seen enough with Dart here that has got to be at the top of the list. Because if he develops properly, everything changes. It just does. We get away from the conversations about what the intentions of the Giants are late in the season. We get away from the conversations about trying to tank against the Las Vegas Raiders. We get away from the conversations about what the Giants are going to do at the top of the draft. We get away from all of this. The stuff that you saw from Abdul Carter and Dexter Lawrence this year, all of this stuff. Listen, Dart might not have been good enough at the time to save Brian Daboll. But I think we're learning here in terms of, for the general manager and staying the course, I think he's shown enough to probably, in all likelihood, save the general manager's job. Now for the Giants, and as GM Joe Shane leads the coaching search, and as they've submitted their list reportedly to ownership in terms of, you know, who they want to talk to, who the Giants want to talk to, this hire is as important a Giant hire as we've seen in quite some time, given everything that's involved. Because you could turn things around quickly in the National Football League. Look at Jacksonville. Look at the New England Patriots. Look at the job that Harbaugh's done with the Chargers. Look at the turnaround of the Denver Broncos. But you got to make the right hire. 1020, Malusis with you. 888-808-1019. Just getting going on this Football Friday. We'll get to your calls. As I mentioned, Art Stapleton will join us top of the 11 o'clock hour. Al Ianazone on the Jets coming your way in the noon hour. Nick Costos will join us. We'll get into a little baseball hour number 4 as John Heyman will kick off the 1 o'clock hour from the New York Post. It's Malusis with you. It's a Friday midday. If I didn't say it yesterday enough, Happy New Year, everybody. The final Football Friday of the regular season. Big-time football over the course of the weekend, including a great doubleheader on Saturday. We'll get to your calls. We'll do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.